Accession number 27338, Reel 2.
My impression early on in the history of VAD, Voluntary Aid Detachment, particularly in places like the First World War, that for Australians certainly, that their duties were fairly menial. What were the main duties that you were being taught to be able to undertake?
Well, they examined you on different things, but mainly it was nursing and first aid. But when they called for enlistments, they found the VADs, they wanted them to do anything like cooking or telephone operators, but mostly it was fundamentally nursing.
In that regard, did you find it a difficult job at all?
Well, we were given a month's leave without pay to go to different hospitals and military, and you learned quite a lot then, because, for instance, I never knew what a bottle meant. And you learn a lot of elementary, and of course all bed making, but of course the sisters did the main things, and we were allowed to watch certain operations and accidents. But you had to be strong in those days to do that because you weren't trained.
Presumably your tasks would be quite physically demanding too.
Yes, very.
What was the hardest job that you had to prepare yourself for, do you think? For you personally?
Well, I don't think they gave the inexperienced ones hard jobs. It was mainly nursing and looking after and caring for the patients.
Let's talk about the experience for you in relation to preparing to go away. Had you thought that you would end up going overseas with the VAD?
No, but they announced that there would be 800 VADs would be going to the Middle East. So everyone who was able, a certain age or without obligations, were tested, and then there was a selection board, of course. And
as I understand, you were to go to the Middle East in 1941. Well, whenabouts were you to leave, do you think?
Well, we didn't know when, and we didn't know where, but I remember going to my famous doctor who used to lecture us, because everybody in the office said that, oh, your duty is here in the office. And when I went to see this patron, you might say, the VADs, I said, well, what do you think? He said, well, you are trained to do this, and I think you should enlist. But
did you have any apprehension of going overseas at all?
Yes, it was a bit scary, because you didn't know where, you didn't know when, but you just felt you were doing the ultimate you could to keep on with what you...
How did your parents look at you going overseas?
I think they felt very sick at heart. But I had enlisted, and then I told Mother. I can just remember telling her when she was ironing, and I think she was probably terribly worried because my brother had already gone.
What news were you hearing in relation to what your brother was up to and where he'd been?
Well, we followed him through his training from Cunderdon to Geraldton and then seen him off, which was very, very traumatic for my mother and all of us.
Where was he to be seen off, do you recall?
Well, he left from Fremantle, but they were pretty strict about security in those days. And
I would be interested for you to tell us what it was like watching men go off from a woman's point of view, and if you could describe to us the crowd scene at the port.
No, I'd just say that I think we all felt sick at heart.
In relation to the occasion, were there bands playing? Were there streamers being hoisted? What was the occasion like?
Well, they had marches through the city. I remember we marched with our contingent that went on the Queen Mary, and there was some comment. One said, "Brazen hussies."
Why?
I suppose they thought we were
like
going
that
to pinch the men or something. No, it's just the things you have to accept.
Men talk of being in uniform and feeling proud, and people looking at them and looking at them with strong support and fondness. How did you feel being dressed up in your VAD uniform?
Well, we felt very proud to be going, and I think that was just about, you're very busy, sort of. You're not wandering around thinking about it. You're just doing what you have to do.
Can you describe your uniform to us?
Yes, we had a blue uniform, and they used to call us Blue Orchids. But we loved our blue uniforms.
I understand they used to call the Airmen Blue Orchids as well.
Yes, they did.
In relation to the various services, from a woman's point of view, from your point of view, which one stood out as being the most important, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I applied and got accepted for an interview for the Air Force because we were just anxious to, you know, to get on and do the most we could. But the nursing was my real, real love.
What would you have wanted to do in the Air Force, do you think?
Something in the clerical way is what I would have done, because that was what the majority were doing then.
So when it was known that you were to go away, what sort of briefing were you given about what that might mean?
Well, I don't think it was a briefing as much as you had all your issue of clothing to get and inoculation and all those things that occupied you so much that you just went ahead and did them.
Had you had any knowledge of how things had been going in North Africa at all by then?
Yes, we knew there were casualties, but we didn't know where we were going. We assumed it would probably be the Middle East because the boys had gone there before.
As I understand, you were to join up late in November, I believe,
yes.
Or thereabouts of 41. So you'd heard of places like Bardia and Tobruk?
Well, you must have heard about Tobruk because our 2nd 28th Battalion was there and they came out of Tobruk about the same time that we arrived in the Middle East.
We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
What was the knowledge of the German forces in the region by the time you left? And what was going on?
Well, we didn't know where they were. Except naturally they were in Tobruk.
We can talk about that. Had there been any knowledge of the sort of fighting that had taken place? For instance, the Italians had initially been in North Africa. The Italians had initially been the main army, an enemy for the Australians. They'd been defeated quite easily initially, lots of prisoners. How were the Germans then seen with their entry into the area?
Oh, it was the enemy. I think that covers it.
Was there ever any doubt that they might not be so easy to handle, do you think?
Well, we knew it was touch and go. And when they kept Tobruk, and then Jerry sort of retreated, that was a big relief.
So you heard of the rats of Tobruk, the self-sustaining prisoners,
yes,
of Tobruk. What had been the sense then when the Australians had been holding Tobruk?
Well, you just heard the news, but of course a lot of our friends, and especially one of mine, was badly wounded.
What was it like to know that the casualties of people you knew were actually taking place? This was the real thing. It wasn't just something that was happening all the way over there.
It was terrible because everybody dreaded the postman coming or the minister.
Did your mother, for instance, say anything to you on your preparation to leave the country?
Well, she's proud, but very, very sad that two of us, the only two, being away at the same time.
Did she give you any advice at all?
No. Not really.
When was it that you were to know that North Africa would be your destination?
Because I'm not sure.
Before you went on board ship?
No, I can't remember knowing.
So let's talk about, okay, well, the day is drawing near. You're actually going to leave. What was the process of leaving? What was involved in leaving?
Well, seeing your friends and getting your uniforms ready, that took a lot of time. Going and having them fitted and tried, waiting and getting everything together, sort of planning what you'd take. Then we had a month in Northern staging camp. We were nursing there too. That's when we got all our inoculations. And
had you had contact with the soldiers in Northern?
Well, we used to go up if you had friends for weekends, at the weekends, and they'd be on leave. But there were so many of the boys we knew the Northern camp too.
All right. What was it like going up to Northern on the weekend? What sorts of things would you do?
Well, you generally have afternoon tea or something, and then come back again.
Were there dances that you would involve yourself with?
Yes, we had, when we were stationed at Northern, they had a dance in the local hall.
What were those occasions like?
Oh, quite fun. But a lot of the boys, we used to laugh because when they had their needles, they had a much higher rate of fainting than the girls, we thought.
People talk of forming relationships, obviously, with soldiers, and often it being something that people shied away from, given the state of play in relation to the war. They might not come back. Did you have a special male friend that you were close to prior to going away?
No, I had a lot of friends.
Let's talk then about the attitude of the men when they were preparing to leave. How did they? What was your impression of how they took leaving the country?
A bit of bravado, I think.
How did that show itself?
Well, I know a lot of the officers used to meet at the Esplanade Hotel, and they got up to a lot of pranks there.
What sort of pranks do you know about?
Well, I know of a few where they're hanging on to the lights, and the hotel manager was very sort of well disposed, and I think the good ones were to the tension that the boys were going through. And of course they'd have a few too many drinks and they wouldn't remember what they'd done. I think even at Pierce they put the hose on and all the water went down below. There's certain reprimands, but I think the punishment was always fairly generous.
Did you ever get the impression that the army wasn't as well equipped as it might be?
No, we wouldn't know. We didn't know.
Okay, let's talk about your experience going away. Was there any bravado in the way at going overseas?
Yes, we all felt pretty... and worry because we didn't know how long or where.
Presumably women weren't drinking too much. How did women respond to going away?
Well, I think we were busy working in the hospital. So by the time you've been working all day in the wards, or, you know, you just sort of had companionship and then slept.
People talk of an eagerness to leave the country, to go away, to see the world, have an adventure. Any element of that in relation to joining up?
No, not to seeing the world and adventure. I mean, it was just you felt you wanted to do the most you could in your capacity.
Let's talk about leaving. What was that like? You left from Northern, presumably. You'd come down on a train. What was it like?
They came down by bus,
right,
to Claremont staging camp.
And then what?
And then we went on the ship. And I can't quite remember, but I know our mothers were down at the wharf behind a wash or something, and we went out to the Queen Mary, and it was so rough that they couldn't take us on board, so we had to unexpectedly come back to Fremantle for the night. And of course then we were all trying to find our mothers and relatives. That was a panic, so it was a sort of anticlimax. And then we had to meet early, I think, in the morning, and try it again. They said if they didn't pick us up, they'd have to go without us because they couldn't wait.
Hmm. presumably you hadn't been overseas before.
That's right.
What was it like?
No, I'm sorry, I had been to Melbourne when I went to do some ballet with...
You'd gone to Melbourne with your ballet?
No, to get my teacher, Lindy Walton, by then, knew that I was going over to the ballet school, just through, took leave off from the office. And...
So you went by ship?
Went by ship. Mm.
This was, I presume, a slightly bigger ship than the one you'd been...
You mean to Melbourne? I mean, on one of the... I forget which, Duntroon, something like that.
And what was the Queen Mary like in comparison to the Duntroon?
Oh, it was huge.
So coming up to the Queen Mary, what were your impressions of her?
Well, when we first went on board, the very first person I saw was an old boyfriend from Adelaide, and by this time he was married, of course, and so he had some good friends on board. He and his friends, they were pioneers. And then the same thing, we were all given duties. And
what were yours like?
We were very cramped, but we were together. I think there were six of us in the one room, beautiful, what used to be a beautiful room. And all the remnants of the glory of the Queen Mary was still there, you could see.
In relation to being on board the Queen Mary, you mentioned the cramped conditions. What of things like food? What was the food like on the Queen Mary?
I think it was adequate. We didn't complain about it, so that... I think it was very good, if I remember.
Presumably your quarters were separate from the men.
Yes, certainly.
Was there a... Were you encouraged to have contact with men outside what duties you might be involved with?
Oh, yes. They had have in the evening, I think. You can meet your friends and... In the lounge, I don't know what they called it, or bar, but, and a certain amount of dancing.
Was there much entertainment on board ship?
Well, we put on the concert 5 nights running for the troops, and that meant a lot of rehearsals and work. We were lucky because a lot of very talented men ran the concert.
What was your involvement in the concert to be, do you recall?
Yes, first of all we'd rioted somewhere in Australia. The VADs had rioted, but we had just said that we didn't want to be in concert if there were dirty jokes. And that was supposed to be a riot. But of course, the boys were very good, and we didn't have anything to worry about.
And I understand that you were to be involved with dancing, with ballet.
Yes, well, I had done ballet, so I organised dance with the Navy, Army, and Air Force, you know, part of their music. And that seemed to go down quite well.
What else were you to dance?
Oh no, it was a concert. So we had a Dutch dance and a ballet. Yes, very good.